We want to invite one of our staff members, Tabitha. Tabitha is one of our daughters in the Lord, very precious soul. I always ask her when she comes in, have you eaten today? You know, that's what I do to all our staff and students when they come in. That's my heart as a dad. But I want her to share. God put on her heart months ago to head up and be a part of our night watch team, which is the team that comes in later in the evening and stays all the way through till 2 o'clock in the morning when we close. That takes a very specific and special kind of person. And so we have a small band of ruffians that does that. We have people that lay siege to this city. That's what they do. They will not quit. They will not give up. They're standing on the wall in that place. And Tabitha is one of those people. So I want you to just honor her today. You can pray. You can praise the Lord for her. And I want her to share just whatever's on her heart for a few minutes.
Good morning, everyone. I know when you speak in front of people, you're supposed to have everything together and you're supposed to know what you're saying, but I just got wrecked this morning. And last night I got wrecked even before the worship started. I came in like around a little after 6 and I sat down right before worship started, and God was pulling things out of me and I was breaking things over my mom that affects me. And it was just, so I'm not completely going to be eloquent today, but that's all right. Neither was Paul. God, I'm just going to tell you guys about what God's been doing in me since I decided to join an actual internship. I've been kind of like in and out of IHOP since like spring 2006, but God put it on my heart to actually come here and spend time here. Like, it actually started like 3 days out of the week because I had like 8 o'clock class some other days, and I was a punk because now I have a job and I'm still doing it anyway. So I'm like, man, I could have done it 5 days a week then. But sitting in the presence of God is like nothing else on the face of this earth. And it'll do things inside of you that nothing else can ever bring to you. And it doesn't require prodding. I mean, if I said, who wants free ice cream? I mean, who's going to say, oh, I'm going to pray about it, or let me think about it? Like, nobody. Everybody's just going to run out and go get their ice cream. But the thing about the Spirit of the Lord is that it pulls things out of you that are destroying you on the inside. Like, I remember when I was growing up, I grew up, you know, Christian, whatever, but that there was something inside of me that hated myself so much. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me, but I still couldn't shake it. And I hated myself from the inside out. I just couldn't stand myself. And Lord broke that off of me like he's been doing a lot of work, but he broke it off about 2 years ago. And then like that thing tried to come back. I noticed this past week, I had been not feeling all too great. And I knew I wasn't sick or anything. I knew it wasn't a physical thing, and it was a spiritual thing. I knew exactly what it was. And God spoke to me about the spirits that were on my mom and that were on me. And he was telling me to break them off. And you can only do that in the presence of the Lord. You can't do that anywhere else. And there's nothing in the world that's going to compare to that. So all that to say, spending time with the creator of the universe who delights in you. He doesn't just, you know, kind of like you. He delights in you. There's a passion in the creator of the world over you and over your heart. And he doesn't want you to be tormented. He doesn't want you to live in all these things. He wants you victorious. He told me that I have a destiny, and I believe that. I believe I'm seated in the heavenly places with Christ now. I believe that. And there's nothing in nothing else could have ever told me that. I love the Olsons. They are like, they really are my mom and my dad. They are parents to me. Like, Jared and Eric are my brothers, and Evan and Katrina and all them. And as much as they love me, and I know as much as the Olsons love me, they could say that to me, but it's not as much as when God speaks over you. God sends a spirit to speak over you and speak inside of you. And I just wanted to encourage everyone just to get with the Lord, because as he's doing that, he's going to set you in places where you're not even going to know. You're not even going to know. He's going to have you break things over people. And like, you're going to meet someone who's demon possessed, and you'll be able to stand up and say that God doesn't want that in you. And I know it. I've experienced it. Like, I've experienced the healing power of God. And I know. Thanks, Mommy. And I know he doesn't want that over you. And that's how we're going to take a city. We're not going to take a city by having, you know, nice little groups or nice little things. We're going to take a city by being violent for the Lord, by understanding who Jesus Christ is, seeing his nail scarred hands, understanding every single bit of pain that he went through for us, and knowing that he has that same passion for everyone out there. And we are going to, we're going to have to stop being so into ourselves and start getting out there like Jesus did. He didn't look at people based on what they were. He didn't look at the Samaritan woman, you know, as like, oh, it's just some woman who's been married. Like, he knew all that stuff about her, but he still spoke to her because he knew she was going to go have a testimony to that city. And that whole city was going to believe on the name of Jesus. And that's our own, that's the only reason we're here. That's the only reason, like, if God says that, okay, you're done glorifying my name, I'm like, take me now then, because I have no other reason to stand here. If, I mean, the only thing that I want to have when I'm 85, I still want to feel like this. I still want to feel this way. I still want to feel broken over my own sin and joy and love over Jesus and who he is and who he is and for every single person out there. It's not just for us. It's for every nation. It's for every human. It's for every age, every race. It doesn't matter who they are. Talk to someone. God has a burning passion, a specific word for that person. And I know I'm supposed to be talking about the night watch, but I forgot about it. But, yeah. Yeah, that's what happens in the night watch. I mean, we get broken over the weirdest stuff. Like, we'll just start praying over, you know, abortion doctors, or we'll just start praying over, you know, the crackheads in the city or something, or gang members. And God really is breaking things in the spiritual realm. All because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean it's not happening. God is breaking things inside of people, around people. Like, and so get prayed up. And then as you're talking to people, you're not just kind of dry. You're not just kind of, you know, knowing things on a page. You're not just, you know, reciting verses, but these things are pouring out of you because it's the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. Speaking of Holy Spirit, who I love, we're talking about, sound doctrine. And that's one of the things about the house of prayer too, is that sound doctrine gets instilled in you. And even though you may not seem like, well, how do I learn doctrine without somebody standing for teaching? It's like God starts to release his character. He starts to show you who he is. And I know that like 10 years ago, I never would have said out of my mouth that the Holy Spirit's not God. But sometimes the way you speak to the Holy Spirit, or sometimes the way you think about him, you're in essence saying that he's not as powerful as God. He's just kind of a fuzzy in a meeting, or he's just kind of, you know, this cute little thing to sprinkle on top. But no, the Holy Spirit is God, and he dwells inside of us. And as soon as we understand that, we will be able to take this city for the name of Jesus, and the cross of Jesus will be glorified. And that's the only thing we need to be worrying about. Like, I don't care about my degree. I mean, if God says quit school now, I'll quit, but I know he doesn't want to, you know, too bad. Darn. But, and so, and I know I say this a lot. They're probably back there sick of hearing me say this, but I will get martyred for the cross of Christ. I don't care. I really don't care. Like, this life, I mean, I want to be able, like, that'd be cool to look into the eyes of Jesus and say, my life was all that I had, and now you have it. Now it's yours. Like, that's like the pinnacle for me. I mean, I could, you know, die tomorrow or die when I'm 85. I don't care. But, like, I just wanted to share with you guys that, just get to know the Lord, and it's gonna wreck you, and it's gonna be a good wrecking. I mean, we all need it. I still need it. That's why I'm still here. Like, I will be here, like, forever, because I need to get out of myself and stop worrying about myself and me and my problems and all that. There are people out there that need to understand the Lord. So I just wanted to say that we all need to get a good foundation in God first, get a good foundation in prayer, understand who God is, understand his will for our own lives, understand who we are, that we aren't. I mean, it still blows my mind how God could take someone so broken and so small and so shameful and all these things, and like, seat her with him, like, in the, like, that still messes me up, like all these things that I could say that, you know, oh, I did this or I did that, or, you know, I'm da 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 da, but I mean, I'm seated with Christ, like, by his own will. And it's not like some kind of automatic thing where it's like, well, I guess you're redeemed, come sit with me. It's like, I want you here. There's something that only you can do that I have for you, that, you know, if Nicole tries to do it, she won't be able to do it. If Andrea tries to do it, she won't be able to do it. You have it, and you can do it. And I'm just like, sweet. Yay. So anyways, I know that was all really a lot of rambling, but I don't think I'll have my head together anytime soon. So they could ask me to do it at one again, and I'd probably still do the same thing. So yeah, just come out to the house of prayer. Like, it's really, really good place to be. And I don't know. Like, I know God's here, and I know God has like a destiny for this city. And I'm more convinced now than I've ever been in my life that God's going to shake something. That God's going to shake something, and that we are going to be a part of it. Like, that's exciting. Like, that's really exciting. Like, I don't care about the next new movie or the next new whatever. Like, this is exciting. This is reality. Like, God sitting on a throne and angels worshiping him in thunder and lightning. That's reality. That's reality. And that's what I want to touch. That's what I want to smell and see. So I'm like, God, sit me here, get rid of my, you know, my pride and my anger and my jealousy and all this junk that I got inside of me so I can be more like you. That's all I want. So I'm done.
Thank you. Awesome, Tabitha. Thank you. Florida State University student. On fire for God, taking the campus. Amen. Pam is handing out the outlines for this morning. And I want to talk about what was in our heart really for this conference is really to stir us up, you know, to stir up his people. It says in Timothy, Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said, you know, he said, I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. And so the purpose of our being here is all of us, you know, we know the Lord, we're walking with Christ and all that, but God wants to stir us up for what it is that he wants to do. And so I want to talk this morning about our calling to go deep in God. You see, God wants to really pursue him in this hour that we live in, like nothing else that we've ever done in life. This is totally different from, you know, we're not just talking about we need to go to church, we need to, you know, do those kind of things, we need to disciple people, we need to do things for God, which we do need to do. And this is not a knock against the local church by any means. We're pastors, we believe in the local church. But what we want to challenge people is we want to see lives really go after the heart of God. I mean, pursue the Lord. Pursue him in this hour that we live in. You know, we're living in just cataclysmic times. I don't know if you realize the times that we're living in America right now. I mean, we're, you know, driving around with $4 a gallon of gas. How many are praying about getting a moped or, you know, bicycle? I told Pam, I'm going to be one of those geeks on a moped with a helmet on going down I-10, you know? She said, no, you're not. But, you know, look at the housing meltdown and on and on and on. There's trouble on the horizon in America and the world. And I believe it's all a part of God's plan. How many know God is not surprised by this or nervous about it or worried? I believe it's all a part of the stage that the Lord is setting. But I also believe that there is a move going on right now in the body of Christ to dull the senses, to dull the spiritual senses of God's people. It's not God making that happen, but it's people that are organizing. They're putting out an agenda for an organized church that's going to do nothing but bring sterility and death to the body of Christ. And so we've got to grab a hold of the old truths like we were talking last night. We got to get into that china cabinet and find the antiques of what God has said over the generations and the years. And we need to recapture that and allow and bring about, you know, the burning that God wants to do in this hour. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, I believe this is exactly where we're at right now. But this, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall do what? They shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And one of the reasons why Pam and I and our family have committed our lives to the house of prayer is because we really believe that this verse right here is steeped in that idea. You know, to see young people especially, and a few old folks as well, we get to tag along, but to see young people especially being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, being filled with the power of God, and go forth like a mighty army. I call it the Joel chapter 2 army of the Lord. And so this is what God is doing in this hour. And he's raising up, under C here, he's raising up a prophetic generation of young adults who desire him more than anything else that this life has to offer. You know, one thing that's really impressed me is that young people today are more radical about their faith in Christ than we were. And we were pretty radical. I mean, some of you have heard my testimony and Pam's testimony. You know, we got saved during the Jesus movement of 1970 as young hippies on drugs and all that kind of stuff. You know, God saved me out of that. And there was a mighty move of God during that time. But this is different. It's a different move of God, but it's the same kind of spirit. It's the abandonment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to go for broke. You know, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to pursue God. And so this is what the Lord is doing in this generation that we live in. And the Lord wants to stir our hearts today. He wants us to rise up and be a voice in this hour. He wants you to rise up wherever you are, in your local church or in your youth group or wherever you are. He wants you to be the one. You know, in Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, I want you to go throughout the city and I want you to place a mark on certain people. And I believe that's what God is doing today. He's placing a mark on hearts. He's drawing us into that place. And it's just phenomenal to be a part of a move of God like that. God is calling this prophetic generation to be focused and faithful to our assignment. In this local house of prayer, that means that our primary mandate is to keep consistent sanctuary of worship and prayer. You know, it's amazing to me, Janice. It's amazing to me how I have seen what happens to people when they give themselves to prayer. I mean, when you see a consistent lifestyle of people who are just sitting in the presence of the Lord and seeking God. And I want to tell you, you know, some people get the idea, well, we're just kind of a nice group of young people, kids, whatever, just kind of sitting there in a corner praying somewhere. No, this is like a seminary that you're going through. I mean, these kids are kids that are going deep into the things of God, into the truths of God's word. You know, they're sitting in the back during the night watch hours. They're reading these old, dusty, scary books. Janice is the one that gave me a book years ago called Rees Howe's Intercessor. What did I do? I put on a bookcase, yeah, you know, I believe in prayer, I'm an intercessor, and I'll get to that someday. And I never did. But guess what? My son found the book. He pulled it off the bookshelf, and he started reading it to me, you know? He said, Dad, I want to just read this to you. He said, just want to make sure I understand what this guy is saying. You know, he said, there was a call of God on his life, and there was a point in his life and his calling that he could have, you know, if I remember this correctly, he could have, you know, gone into this organized ministry position that he had, and he could have, you know, built this big thing and all that. But God told him that he was to be different. The Lord told him that he was to put his face in the dirt and to cry out to me and to get to know who I am, to know my heart. And that's what I really feel my life is to be, you know, and I'm going to, oh, wow, did he really do that? You know, I mean, what else did he say? You know, and so I'm quizzing, Jared is the one, I'm quizzing him on this thing, you know, and it just blows me away to see these young people pulling off the bookcase, books that are being rediscovered, truths that are being rediscovered in this hour, like the knowledge of the holy, you know, by A.W. Tozer. And, you know, I'm starting to read these things. It's like, wow, what is going on here? You know, I mean, isn't the problem that we really don't know who God is? We really don't know what he's like. You know, we have created this self-concept of who God is. And that's what we're perpetuating. But God is calling us back to him. He's calling us back to the truths of the scripture. When we do the internship, the relentless internship, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go through the entire Word of God, the Bible. We're going to read the whole thing. Everybody's heard about the Bible, right? We're going to read the entire Bible, divide it up into 10 chapters a day, 118 days. You can read the entire thing from cover to cover. I've rearranged the order a little bit. We're going to start in the New Testament, and then we're going to go to the Songs Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, through the major prophets, minor prophets, and then we're going to go back to Genesis and then go through from the Old Testament. But we're going to read the entire Bible during our Relentless Internship. This is what we're doing. We're raising up young, burning hearts who know who God is, you know? And so I want to encourage you to be a part of it if you can. Be a part of the Relentless Internship. So, but in this local house of prayer, that means, again, our primary mandate is to keep a consistent sanctuary of worship and prayer. Ezekiel 44, and you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. But the sons of Zadok, everybody say Zadok? We learn about some very unusual characters in our studies here. Who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. You see, the Lord is giving us a charge to keep today. God is giving each one of us a charge that we're to keep before the Lord. And this is all a part of what God is doing in this hour to stir up our hearts. We are called to be a Holy Spirit greenhouse. A Holy Spirit greenhouse. Everybody say greenhouse. We're to be a spiritual greenhouse for young, tender plants to grow quickly in God and where people can gather to pursue the fullness of what God has promised in this age. What I love about the house of prayer is it gives the opportunity. It gives the opportunity for people to come together and grow in the things of God. I mean, when you listen to our worship team lead in worship, you know, we don't have performers in here. We're not performing. And this is all a part of the training. You're not here to perform. This is not you doing, you know, the thing, and then everybody else is out there kind of, praise the Lord, you know, whatever. That's not what we're doing. You are about an audience of one. You're sitting here, you're leading worship, you're singing unto the Lord. And if people get an opportunity to be a part of that and to watch that, that's awesome. But even if the room is empty, that is what you're called to do. That's the charge that God is giving to you. And so what happens is, that mindset is getting instilled in the hearts of these young kids. And they're being raised up as true worshipers of the Lord. They're being raised up as this awesome, mighty, radical army of the Lord. These are kids that will not be deterred. They will not give up. They will not quit. Because it's not about you or anybody else. No offense to anyone here. But it's about Him. It's about His plan and His agenda and what He wants to do in this hour. And so there's this resolve, there's this burning in the hearts of these young kids that I love watching it. You know, it's what I was born into as a new believer back in my days, but it's happening again. God is raising up these kids, these young people and old as well, you know, to carry this burning in their heart. And so God is, again, He's calling us to go deep in Him. And then page two there are some things that the Lord is wanting to see happen in each one of us. The threefold greenhouse effect of time before God is intimacy, intercession, and messengers. And I want to talk about the oil of intimacy for just a couple of moments. If we'll look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And what I want to stress today is that God wants us to experience intimacy with Him. That's a foreign concept to a lot of people. A lot of people don't even understand what it means to walk in intimacy before the Lord. And The purpose is that God wants us to encounter his heart. The most important thing that if we can get this into your mindset and into your heart is that this is all about you encountering the heart of God. It's all about you really knowing who he is and experiencing his heart. You know, Tabitha just shared a few moments ago, and she's encountering the heart of God. See, you can be in the house. You can be in the house of the Lord and never really encounter the heart of God. You can come in week after week, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever, and never really encounter the heart of the Lord. And so what we want to do is we want to see people go deep into things of God. We want you to tap into the oil, to the resources of the Holy Spirit of God. How many know that he is a person? The Holy Spirit of the Lord is a person. And Jesus said in John 14 that it's very important for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send him to you. And so we know the account of the Holy Spirit being poured out in Acts chapter 1 and 2. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem, but you go there and you wait. And we read the account of how they waited in the upper room. 120 of them, the apostles and others, they waited in the upper room. They just sat before the Lord and waited before him. Last night I was out running around doing things, making copies, and it's part of my calling. I take out the trash sometimes and I do things, and, you know, and I just want to see God do things, and I'm just running around the house of the Lord, you know? But I came in the back door and I was getting ready to come back in this room, and I said, man, it's quiet in here. What's going on? Everybody leave? Did I miss the rapture? You know? No, wait, we don't have a rapture. Hold it. that comes later. What's going on? I'm standing there in silence. I'm moving like this because all the doors are open in the back because it was really hot. You know, I didn't want to make any noise and people wonder who's in the back, you know, rumbling around. But, and I'm not sure what you guys were doing. I think you were asking people to be still and hear God say things to you. Is that what it was? I'm pretty observant in my spirit, man. But you know what, though? You know what's profound about that? We don't know how to do that. We don't, as the way we're brought up in our culture is we always got to have things going on, noise, people talking, things plugged in our ears, things that we're looking at. We're just kind of, you know, these neurotic people, right? And we got to get still and listen to his voice. We just got to still our hearts and get into a place where we can actually feel the presence of God and hear the presence of the Lord. And so when we get to that place, God begins to pour in this oil, this precious ointment into our hearts that changes us from the inside out. You can see people that have sat for extended periods of time in the prayer room who've given themselves to a lifestyle, a fasted lifestyle, which is one of the terms that we use here, is God is calling us to live a fasted lifestyle. There are things that we can do, we can be busy doing, but you know what? For the cause of what Jesus wants to do in this hour, we're going to forego those things so we can pursue the heart of God. And there's something that happens to people like that. There's a change that takes place in them. You can know them and then, you know, go somewhere for months and come back and see them and you go, oh my gosh, what happened to you? There's something going on the inside of you. And that's what we're all about. That's what we want to see happen. That's what it means to go deep in God. And so we got to encounter the Lord. Do you know how many of us or how many people are running on empty? There's just nothing inside. Yes, there's head knowledge, there's understanding of the principles of the scriptures and salvation and all of that, but there's nothing burning on the inside. God wants you to recapture that this morning. He wants you to recapture the burning in your heart. If your fire is flickering, you know, if it's flickering on the inside of you, God wants you to recapture the fire of the Holy Spirit burning on the inside of you. There was a preacher years ago. He was a seminary professor, and he used to get up. This was at Oral Roberts University, and he used to say this. He used to say, hey, get your learning, but don't lose your burning, okay? And so, yes, we want to train you. We want to teach you. We want you to understand with your head, but more than anything else, we want that burning to burn on the inside of you. And we're talking this morning about this prophetic generation. I want us to pray later this morning, this afternoon. I want us to pray for God to release the burning in hearts. Just a fire that will burn, that will consume everything in you that is not of Him and cause you to set your course in a different direction that will change your life and change the lives of those people around you. You see, we're here to raise up an army of revolutionaries. I mean, we're here to raise up a counterculture of revolutionaries, not in a bad sense, in a good sense, in a Holy Spirit sense. And I will tell you right now, there'll be people around you who will not understand what you're doing. Why are you spending all your time doing this? Is futile. You're wasting your time. What are you doing? Don't you know that we must do some things for God? Yes, we must. But we must first recapture the burning in our hearts for Him and for His purposes. And so, I alluded to this last night. One of my dear friends, not dear personal friend, but one of my dear friends in my heart is Dr. Cho. How many has ever heard of Dr. Cho in South Korea? He's got a small church over there of about 1 million people. But he is a Korean pastor, and he used to say this years ago. And I'll say it the way he said it. Something supernatural happens when you pray an hour a day. Ha, ha, ha. He had a Korean laugh. How do people laugh in Korean or Denmark, Danish, America, you know? But there was a truth in that nugget of what he would say. Something supernatural happens when people pray an hour a day. And I want to add to that. Something supernatural happens when you pray in the Spirit an hour a day. When you pray, like Acts chapter 2, they were in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and began to pray in tongues as the Holy Spirit would give utterance. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to say this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the entry point into a supernatural walk with the Lord. It's the first base of what you need in your life if you want to experience the prophetic. If you want to walk in the prophetic, that is what opens the door up for you to begin to function in the spirit realm. I don't know if I can. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the entry point. It's where we start. It's the first base of us walking in the supernatural. And you know what? Talking about dusting off the old antiques, this seems to be the word for the hour, dusting off the old. You know, looking at books that have been written years ago, but also dusting off the old teachings and doctrines that were primary in the church maybe 1 or 2 decades ago that have been forgotten because we're going to be an emerging church movement, culture, or whatever you have. We're going to try to figure this thing out and administratively set up a move of God through the mental, you know, doings of our thinking and our actions. That's the lost truth is this, that when you come to God and you begin to press in and pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in your prayer language, and you do that, like Dr. Cho says, an hour a day, I want to say to you that something supernatural happens. Something is released on the inside of you that changes you. It changes your environment. There's a fire that begins on the inside of you to burn like nothing can quench it. And that is what God is looking for in this hour. God is looking for young people, old people, to recapture the old truths of what it really takes to see a church on fire for Him. I used the example recently as I was talking on Friday night. We do what we call Encounter God service. But I used the example of a pastor friend of mine from Clearwater. Our church that we were a part of, Franco was there, Janice was there. We were a part of, we saw God do phenomenal things. I came on staff with 80 people, and 15 years later, there were 3,500 people. I used to do tours, You know, people would call the office. We'd like to see your facility. You know, we'd like to learn. We want to take notes. What can we do? You know, so I used to do some of these tours with people. And I'd take them through and show them the sanctuary and the classrooms and the nurseries and all this stuff. And they would always come to this. Can you please tell us how to do this? And I would look at them and I said, well, I don't mean to sound simplistic, but we are a praying church. We know that nothing happens unless we pray. We can have all the plans, all the stuff, but unless we pray, there is no fire that's released in our services. There is nothing that happens in the hearts of people. And so, you know, we used to have 5 prayer meetings a week. We had Saturday night prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. You know, what a bad time to do that. You know, people want to go out, you know, go to restaurants, be with family, whatever. But we had 300 people on Saturday nights. And it sounded like this, I mean, Niagara. I mean, it was like, people were praying, you know, hey, that's my spot. You're in my spot. You move over there. And I would go in between the columns, back and forth, you know. We'd have this, we'd wear out the carpet. Because there was something there. We captured the reality and the truth of what it, you know, what happens when you tap into Jesus, the life source, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw miracles take place, lives transformed. The altars were filled with people every Sunday morning crying out to God. You know, it wasn't because we planned it. Yes, we did. We planned. We got to pray. We got to seek after God. We need his presence. We need his fire in our midst. And that's what happened. And so something supernatural happens when you pray an hour a day. The Lord told me years ago, we came up here in 1999, we planted a church. The Lord told us in Clearwater, move to Tallahassee. I want you to establish a house of prayer. I said, yes, Lord, that's awesome. I'm going to go plant a church. And that's what I did. That's what we did. And we did that for 5 years. 5 years fast forward, the Lord says, excuse me, you know, what did I say back in 1999? I want you to go to Tallahassee and establish a house of prayer. And, okay, what are you doing? Well, I'm pastoring a church. Don't you think that you should be doing what I ask you to do? Yeah, but Lord, I was trying to help you out. I mean, nobody in his rational, sane mind will go to a city he's never been to before or has lived in before and decides to establish a house of prayer. What insane idiot would do something like that? The Lord said, no, that's what I've called you to do. And so we said, okay, Lord, all right. And we got up, we announced to our congregation, we love all of you, we love church, we're pastors, we believe in the local church, but God has called us to establish a house of prayer. And so therefore, from this point on, we are not a church, we are a house of prayer. If you want to be with us, help us out, that'd be awesome. But if not, you need to go find a local church somewhere because we believe in the local church. You go. And, you know, several years later, they went. Yeah, that's exactly right. They did go. And it was a challenge. It knocked out the financial underpinning that we had at the time. But you know what? God was calling us to something different, something maybe that no one had done in this place, in this city before. And so we've been on this journey for the last several years of, yes, Lord, what's the next step? What is it that you want us to do now? In 1999, God gave Pam a prophetic word. How many has ever heard of Cindy Jacobs? Cindy Jacobs is a prophetic lady that's moved used mightily in different parts of the nation. But he gave her a prophetic word. She was at a meeting in Tampa and had not even, wasn't even thinking, do you want to read this? You want me to read it? I'll read it. All right. Huh? What'd you say? I need to read it. Okay, good. This is a word from Cindy Jacobs to Pam in Tampa, February 22nd, 1999. We've kept this tugged away. We keep things like the map with the yellow dots, every entry point into the city where we planted stakes. And you can read the prayer and declarations that we made over the city. That has not changed. That is still the case for Tallahassee. The enemy knows it. And so he tries, you know. Wah! He jumps out behind the black curtain. Wah! And most people, and they run, you know. But to me, it's like I've seen you before, and you're out of here, you know, because we're here to stay. We're laying siege against this, not against the city, but we're laying siege around this city because God has called us to do this thing. This is the cap. Don't you know this is the capital city of Florida? Don't you know there's things that happen here? You go down to the Capitol, plaza level, fourth, fifth floor, whatever, first couple of months of the year, and you watch the buzz that's going on as all the legislators come in and deals are made and things happen in this place. Lobbyists are there, people with phones coming out of their ears. If you've never been there, we call it the piranha pit or piranha den. It's very interesting. But see, we don't realize, as local church people here in Tallahassee, we don't understand that. We just think it's a nice little sleepy town where, you know, there's lots of trees and it's nice here and there's little red-headed woodpeckers, you know, and deer running in the backyards and what a wonderful place, you know. But we don't recognize that there's something, this is a place of great tension. And this is a place where decisions are made and things happen in the spirit realm. And guess what? The Church of Jesus Christ as a whole in this city is basically asleep. They have no idea. You know, they're out on the golf course and praise the Lord, brother, patch the mashed potatoes. You know what I'm saying? And so God has awakened this in our hearts and we're realizing, hey, we have a responsibility. There's something God wants us to do. And so the Lord spoke this to Pam. This is 6 months before we ever moved to Tallahassee. He says this, the Lord is showing me that you are a secret weapon against the evil one, but you have been weary. And you're just saying, Lord, how long is it going to be before we see this breakthrough? Don't stop praying because reinforcements are on their way. And you have just said, Lord, we have prayed and we have prayed and we have prayed. And it looks like it's not getting better. It's getting worse in some areas. And the Lord says, oh, it's going to happen. For I am going to make Florida a state of refuge. I'm going to make this state a state of refuge for the nations of the earth. And the Lord says, I have brought you here for that reason. I see God is going to give you a place of refuge for ministers. I see there is a physical property that is going to be given to you, and you're going to make it missionaries coming in and different ones. You know, missionaries. We thought about this, didn't even make the connection. We're raising up prayer missionaries right now. And this is new. And the Lord says there's going to be a place to pray, but there's going to be a place of refuge for his people. And the Lord says many more people are going to want to pray than used to want to pray. So get ready for the influx. I have shown you strongholds and I've shown you things, and it seems like people haven't been interested in these things. But the Lord says, now is the hour. Now is the time. This prophetic word. We're pastoring in Clearwater. It's like, what are you talking about, Lord? We're not even thinking about a house of prayer. This prophetic word was given. We tucked it away, and here it is today. See, I believe God will give a prophetic, he will release a prophetic word into your life. It doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen this very second. If you listen to Mike Bickle, who is the director of IHOP in Kansas City, if you've ever listened to the prophetic history of IHOP in Kansas City, there were things that happened. There were things that were said to him that were 20 years ago. God said, I'm going to do this with you. I'm calling you to lead a mighty army, a mighty generation of young people into a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. That's what I'm calling you to do. He's pastoring a church in Kansas City. What are you talking about? You know, well, you know, whatever. I mean, there were things that were said to him in different prophetic words and revelations that came that God was going to do that did not take place till years later. And so we are on this journey. And I want to invite all of us. You know, it says a true transformation in the church and society only comes through people ablaze with the fire of God. I want to invite all of us to embrace what God is doing, what God is saying to you in this hour. part of the reason why we wanted Janice to come. She is a warrior for the Lord. She's a battle axe for God. She can stir things up in the heavenlies like no one I know. She can release things into lives. And I want each one of us to open our hearts up for that to take place. I want to see people in this city on fire for Jesus. Yes, I want us to grow in the gifts of the Spirit, in the prophetic. I mean, you know, there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians. I want to see that happen. But more than anything else, I want to see your hearts being stirred up for God's purposes in your life. Wherever you are, whatever your station in life is, wherever you, if you're a working person, pastor, it doesn't matter. I want to see God stir you up in your inner man in a new way. You know, some of us, it may mean, you know, we need to make some decisions about our personal lives, our personal time, what we do, you know. Turn some things off. Throw some things out. Change your schedule. God wants to take us in a different direction. If we're going to be the end time army of God, if we're going to be the Joel to Acts chapter 2 army of the Lord, behold, it will come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The reason that will take place is because there will be a preparation in the hearts of these young people. There will be something that happens that causes them to grab onto God like no other generation has ever done. And that's what I believe this weekend is all about. And so, Janice, I want to ask you to come up and take the ministry time in whichever way you feel it needs to happen. And let's just open up our hearts to that.
Awesome, Pastor Tenney. I mean, I'm stirred. Sitting in this place, and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm going to ask you, you know, last night the kids were here late. I mean, they were here praying late. But when we break for lunch, I want you to get on the phone. This afternoon, God showed me an explosion. When we come back, there's going to be an explosion in the Spirit. There's going to be an activation and a release that I can't even describe what I saw in the Spirit. And we may not all see it in the Spirit, but it's about to take place. So I want you to get on the phone and you call them and say, you know what, you've slept now. You need to get out here and get activated. Anyone that you know that has a heart for this city, because we want God to divinely bring in and we refuse to let the enemy divinely stop. Amen? Amen. If we can just come to the keyboard a second, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Please, I just want you to be just abandoned. Just abandoned before the Lord. I want you to just to close out every person around you. Matter of fact, just for a minute, look at the person next to you and say, excuse me, but I'm about to leave you right now. And I want you just to focus on the Lord, and I want you to see Him high and lifted up. Not about what He can do for you or what He can say to you. I want you to see Him as God. It was God who did not need, you know, God doesn't need us. Oh, but if I don't do this for God, well, He doesn't need you and He doesn't need me. He lets us. He lets us. So this morning, I want you to see Him. I want you to see Him and the Son and the powerful Holy Spirit sitting in the heavenlies and deciding that they wanted to create a worshiper. I want you to just listen to a conversation and they're saying, you know what? It's not about our ego. We can stroke one another. We can love one another. We can appreciate one another. But we want a worshiper. We want to create someone who will adore us and lift our name on high and believe that we are God and that we actually created everything that's around them and that we're able to create them or we're able to reinstate and our creativity will never end. We want someone that will bow down before us and acknowledge us as God. Even when we release an enemy on the earth, they will never give credence to him or place to him. That their eyes will always be focused upon who I am and just who I am. He says, I want a people that if I never did one more thing for, they would still abandon their life for me. That heaven would be enough for them. They would truly understand what it means to take up a cross daily. they would understand the fellowship of my suffering. Oh, victory is sweet. We can't deny that. Victory is sweet. But when we learn how to put on the garment of affliction and be a testimony and a demonstration, not of how God can deliver us, because he does deliver us. That's his delight. Jared said it so eloquently last night when he said, do what you delight to do. He loves to touch us. He loves to bring victory to us and to heal us and to deliver us and to provide for us and to sustain us and to order our steps and to bring peace and comfort to us. He loves to do all that. More than anything else, he just says, if I don't do it when you want me to do it or how you want me to do it, do you still have it in you to lift your hands up in the midst of everything and declare that I am still your God? Can you see me above everything else? Can you see me high and lifted up? Can you see me as the bright and morning star, the beginning and the end of all things? Can you see me as the river that's being released inside of you? Can you see me as the bread of life that's all you need of? Can you see me as the wheel in the middle of the wheel that's able to turn? And can you see me when you can't see me? When I put you on the potter's wheel, when I begin to press on you and to mash on you, and you begin to apply my pressure to the evil one, when all the while it's me. And when I turn that wheel and you can't see the compassion in my eyes telling you through my eyes that it's going to be okay, can you still acknowledge that I'm God and that I'm able to keep you from falling? This is the God that we serve. So I want you just to take a minute in your spirit and then out of your mouth. And I want you to begin to adore him. You know, so many times we have to have someone lead us in a song. You know, you have your own song. You have your own words. So out of your own mouth, just begin to tell him how much you love him. Now I just release worship in the house from your spirit to his spirit. We don't need prompting. We don't need guiding. It's your spirit crying out to God this morning. So begin to worship him any way you want to, but open your mouth and let your words flow for a few minutes.
You are Elohim. You are God. Oh, la la, son, that I call of a the Spirit of the Lord right now. And Tenny, if you and Pam can come here, please. I'm about to put a demand on you in just a second under the unction of the Lord. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that I saved you in a radical way. You were in a radical state, but I saved you in a radical way. And I called you in a radical way. And I've traveled you through time in a radical way. And I've placed you in structured places so that you would learn the positive of structure and the detriment of structure. And you've learned well, says the Lord. You've been able to discern with a purity of heart. You've been able to look without judging. You've been able to be wounded without retaliation. And you've been able to go forward with reconciliation. And the Lord says, for that I am well pleased. He says, thank you for portraying my character. He said, but even coming into this city, you were not welcomed, you were judged, you were labeled. But God says, son, understand this. Those that tried to label you, those that tried to say this is who he is and this is who is not, there's a day of honoring coming. Because I said in the heavens as they said, this is who he is and this is who he is not and this is what he can do, this is what he can't do. Even those that have tried to rob you in a financial way, I heard the Lord say, I have said in the heavens and I have laughed and I continue to laugh at your adversary and I continue to laugh at your enemy, says the Lord. And he says, understand this, and I'm about to show myself as Jehovah God. And those that are trying to sweep you under the rug, that's what I saw. I saw just a rug come up and these precious people, godly people, thinking they're doing something for God, that they're empowering you and helping you and encouraging you. They're actually, it's a spirit trying to sweep you under a rug. And God says, they're going to sweep you under the rug. But what they're not counting on is the wind of my spirit is about to blow that rug straight up in the air. And that rug's about to go straight up. And you and your wife are going to stand strong in the middle of this city. And those that judged you, those that tried to stifle you, those that tried to stop you, those that tried to prophesy wrongdoings over you, those that tried to hinder you financially, those that tried to shut the door, God says, I'm about to cause them to say, I ask for forgiveness. I'm honoring you. I want to help you, and I'm going to bless you. Because radically, I saved you. Radically, I will take you home in a long, old age. Don't get me wrong. But he says, understand the generations are yours. He's giving you the key to the campuses. He's placing a key to the campus. Each campus does not have a separate key. It's one key. It's the kingdom key. And as you begin to continue to teach and to preach the kingdom, he says you're going to raise up a generation and you're going to take this key, and all you're going to do is you're going to put it in the palm of every college student that walks through this door, every facilitator that walks through this door. You're going to touch their hand with the key, and they're going to walk into the campus, and every place their foot treads, they're going to possess, because you're going to raise up possessors of the land. Possessors of the land. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, don't grow weary over money. I own everything. I can pick up just one thing, God says, and cause thousands to come into your hand. So I'm asking you, son and daughter, now to put a demand on my revenue. Put a demand on my revenue. He says, I hear the Lord saying, write it down, but do not limit. Do not set a limit. Do not say, this is what I need, because you need a lot more than you know that you need. And the Lord says, he's not going to scare you with it, because you need a lot of money. Because first of all, I say this very cautiously, you're not going to be dependent on anybody for any building. Okay? Because when you're dependent on someone else for a building, they own you. Well, God owns you. No man's going to own you. Okay? You said it last night. You're able to freely serve God. God says today, he's cutting restraints. Stephanie, I want you just to walk around on like scissors and just cut the restraints off. Every restraint that man has put on you is being cut off prophetically right now in the name of Jesus. Every restraint cut off by man. Now, Father, I stand in the gap for them right now, and I ask for forgiveness for every man and woman from the day I met them in 1982 or three to yesterday that has tried to speak for them or represent them. I ask for forgiveness, oh God, that you would rend our hearts, Father, for this man and woman of God that you have so sovereignly placed in a governmental position. And I have to say it again, you are apostles. An apostle is one sent by God. You were sent by God. An apostle is one who lays a foundation
and builds and equips. That's who you are. You have to acknowledge you are apostles. I don't care what man says. I have authority in the Spirit. And I bless you as an apostle. I bless you in it. And I release the anointing on your lives as an apostle now to go to the next level. An apostolic, not only apostolic founding and equipping and training, but apostolic intercession. Because that's about establishing governments, the kingdom government on the earth. And God says that even your children, now receive this pain. None were lost. As a matter of fact, I hear the Lord saying, right beside me. I have them right beside me. Not missing one thing. But if you will look at your earthly children now, it's very obvious they've each been cut from a different cloth. And this was on purpose, because of the multifaceted calling that I have on your lives. I've kept each one. That was my promise to you and my gift to you, that each one has been kept and far, far from the things of the world. And my promise to you is that I'll keep them. I'll keep their spouses. I'll keep your grandchildren to come, because of your faithfulness to me. Because of your faithfulness to me. And my requirement of you is this: as long as you continue to be a parent to my children, your own spiritual children as well, I'm looking for fathers and mothers. As long as you continue to touch my people, young and old, as long as you continue to make yourself available to them in the natural and in the spirit, my hand will never depart from you. It will never depart from you. Yes, there'll be times of testing, but it's in that time of testing I'm refining you as gold. But understand that in the times of testing, you're growing higher and granting favor. I've called you to this city. This is your city. I can trust you with this city. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, there's coming a time of caution of who you yoke yourself with. You'll understand. You'll see clearly and you'll see plainly. You know how to say no. You know how to say no, thank you. And you know how to embrace with graciousness. So son and daughter, receive my refreshing today. Fresh oil is coming. Fresh rain is coming. An influx is coming. But I'm about to bring strength to you. Charlie, you are a pillar in their life. I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying that you're a man that can be trusted. He trusts you with a mandate. Is this like, okay, thank you. What's your name, darling? Kim. He can trust you. They need people they can trust. And God says, you have proven yourself well. He showed me your heart is like a flood of worship, that just purity of worship comes out of you. And because you know how to worship purely, he can trust you with people and cities and his mandate and everything that he has. So God is wanting to, I don't know how your relationship is. I know you're friends, but I don't know any more than that. But there's going to be a greater yoking that's going to take place. And it's going to be a yoking, not for the work of the ministry. It's going to be a yoking of encouraging one another and standing with one another and believing in one another. And, oh, you're very significant in what God is doing here. Very significant. God's about to. I want you to turn around, both of you. Just turn around. Just do a turnaround. There is a turnaround coming in your life. And it's all about ministry. And when I say ministry, I'm not using the word ministry in a structured form of ministry. I'm talking about a release. I literally saw like a hot air balloon be cut off, like snatched just that quick. That type of ministry, a freedom release. That's what it is. It's a freedom release of ministry that's about to come upon you. And it's going to be a lot to do with this, but this is a relationship that's about to become covenant. It's about to be a covenant relationship of trust. You can trust them. And you can trust them. You can trust them. Because God has given you a heart for generations. Your own children. I mean, you're exposing your own children to a radical display of God. And God's promise to you as well is they'll be kept from the things of the world. I'm telling you, that's a promise to you. He's going to keep them from the things of the world. You are models as a husband and wife. You are a model to the body of Christ as a mother and father. You are a model as a worshiper. You are a model as a trainer and equipper of children. That's why he has need of you as a mother and a father in the faith. So I hear the Lord saying thank you for being a model and a representation of how the Word of God literally functions and is supposed to model to the world how we can live. God is about to bring young ladies into your life that are broken, that are just destitute, that have no value and have no worth. And the Lord says you have a word in season for them. You have the balm of Gilead in your hand, and when you touch them, it's going to be like a soothing oil that's going to bind up their wounds. And you're going to begin to prophesy to them and speak value to them and speak worth to them. And they're going to just begin to gather around you, and you're going to begin to see them blossom, just like flowers just opening up and blossoming. That's what the Spirit of the Lord's about to do for you. Charlie, I don't know. I just saw that hot air balloon, but something, there's a turnaround coming. There's a turnaround coming. Okay. Amen. Then I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, then in the midst of everything that you've walked through, he saw you pave your own road. You had to go make your own brick. You had to make the mortar. You had to dig the hole. You had to put the brick and mortar in the hole. And then you put your foot on the brick. And then you passed off to one another and did the same thing over and over again. Well, the Lord said, son and daughter, today the path changes. It's no longer a cobble path. It's going to be a glory path. But don't misdefine the glory, because sometimes the glory has a little bit of grit in it. Just embrace the glory the way he has it. Thank you, Jesus. Eric, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, I wish Renee was here, because I already am madly in love with her. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that this woman was chosen for you before you ever were thought of. He had this woman set aside for you that is bold in the Spirit, that is strong in the Spirit, that will push you in the Spirit, that will love you in the Spirit, that will nurture you in the Spirit, that will mother your children in the Spirit. But he also has called you as a mighty, strong man of God. A strong man of God. You have a coat of many colors. There's so many times the Lord says that you'll think, you know, what exactly do I do? And who exactly am I in this whole scenario? God says, I have called many to do many things, but very few I have called to do all things, that can do all things and do them well. And he said, there's an anointing that rests upon you. There's anointing that rests upon you that when you put your hand to do something, he gives you creativity. He gives you the know-how. He gives you the ability. He gives you the sustenance. He gives you everything that you need for excellence. And he's called you to be a man of excellence. And you'll find places all over the place that will provide for you. But God says, in the kingdom, he needs you. And you're a man of that excellence in the kingdom. And he says, as you continue to just put your hand to the plow, he's about to raise you up, and you're going to be like Joseph. You're a dreamer. And God says, your dreamings are going to just bypass your mind. Because your dreams are going to come true, because they're God dreams. And the dreams that you dream are never for yourself. They're always about expanding and increasing the kingdom of God and how you can help your parents and how you can enhance this ministry. But the bottom line is, the Lord says, for the next 4 weeks between now and your wedding, he wants you to dream for you. He wants you to dream for you and your beautiful wife that's coming. Because she is a gift to you. But son, you're a gift to her. She has found a good thing in you. Don't ever sell yourself short. I mean, I know that you've been praising God for her, but let me tell you what, she is crying out and praising God for you. You are a godly man. Thank you, Jesus. Is that okay? We just kind of flow with the Spirit right now. Where's Tabitha? Come here, darling. Let me just turn around here to Katrina real quick. Where's she at?
she behind me? Where's Katrina? I can't see. Come here, sweetheart. Well, you can stand there. You don't have to come up here. Katrina, the Lord spoke to me last night and said that you are finding your voice. It is time. I'm not talking about your singing, because, I mean, you're a worshiper. It's obvious who you are, darling. But you are a voice. You are a voice in the spirit, and you're a voice in the natural. You're a voice that's going to be reckoned with. You're a voice of no compromise, and you are a voice of no negotiation. When you hear God, you hear God, and you will not be moved. And the Lord said that he is going to plant you like that tree by the water. Even when the enemy comes and tries to shove you, when he tries to even bring a counterfeit to you, when he tries to come up upon you and say, you know what? What are you going down there again for? Why don't you go out and do something? You're going to say, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. But there's like fun is about to come all over you. Just fun and laughter. Now, don't get all nervous when I say this, okay? Say, okay, Aunt Janice, won't get nervous. I saw you dancing prophetically. I saw it. And she's thinking, oh my God, she said it. But I saw it. And it's not this elaborate thing. It's warfare dance, honey. Like your mama. Let her tell her about her early days. It was that kind of dance. Well, not that kind of dance. Right? You are going to have prophetic moves and prophetic acts that's just going to just come on you. And when you begin to make these motions in the spirit, you are doing damage in the atmosphere. You have the ability on you, the anointing on you, Katrina, to go and literally alter atmospheres. Just when you get under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you're just going to do like this. And things are going to begin to move out of the way. That's the unction of the Spirit of God that's on you, darling. Okay? Tabitha, come here, baby. I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying today is your day of breakthrough. That even as a little child, you had labels put on you and words put on you and tells you your restraints, what you could do, what you can't do, and things that said, you know, what do you think you're doing? And God says, no more, no more, no more. Because you have learned now to hear me, says the Lord, and know the authority that you walk in, and know that you have the authority with your own mouth to break those things off of you. The Lord says, you don't have to break them off now. The Spirit of the Lord breaks them off of you right now in Jesus' name. Every label, every word, everything that said you couldn't and you won't, it's broken off of you by the Spirit of God right now. He has become your breakthrough today, darling. And today I prophesy over you and tell you that you're a mighty woman of God. You are valuable. You are precious in His sight. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have a voice. You have a mind. You have a favor. You have all that you need. God's going to set you before people like you've never seen. You're going to find favor on campus with instructors, not just students. You're going to have instructors that are going to notice you. God says it's a time for you to be noticed now. No longer are you hidden. As a matter of fact, He's calling you out of the shadow. No longer can a shadow be in front of you. He's calling you out of the shadow now. You're going to shine. So let yourself shine. Take every opportunity to shine. And He said, don't talk about having to be a martyr for me. I have plenty of those. Be a shining light for me. The fact, He says, that you would even want to, of course, pleases His heart. But He needs someone bold like you, but gentle like you, full of value like you. So today, you embrace your uniqueness. Today, you embrace who you are and how He made you. You embrace it because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's about to be your daddy. I mean, daddy. He's about to be your daddy. Everything that you needed to hear, He's going to say to you. Every embrace you needed to feel, He's about to embrace you. Every tear you wanted someone else to wipe, He's capturing for you. But more than anything else, the smile He's been longing to see is about to overtake you. I'll just release you right now to be all that you're supposed to be. I thank you for this woman of God. I thank you for provision for her, for school, for work, for everything else she needs, God. I thank you for that. Oh, da sandaria kola basanda sandaria kola. I just release you, Tabitha, to be all you're supposed to be in God.
I release greater revelation, oh God, when she opens the word, that you just begin to speak your secrets to her. Speak your secrets to her, God. Just worship a second. Let's just worship a second. Spirit of God that began to flow not from your head down but from your feet up. And I just saw all these chemicals in your body, from like just chemicals, and God just began to wash you. Every effect of them, just he was cleansing your cells, he was cleansing your blood, he was cleansing your mind, he was cleansing your ears, he was cleansing your eyes. And in the name of Jesus, I declare over you that the spirit of heaviness and the label of depression and everything else that would try to oppress you is broken off of you in Jesus' name. You have the mind of Christ. You have clarity of thought in every area of your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare this affliction will not come on you again. In Jesus' name. Cleansed. You are cleansed. You are cleansed. You are cleansed by the Spirit of God. I apply the blood of Jesus over you. And as the blood just begin to wash you whiter than snow inside, cleansing every part of your body. I see it. It's like a, you ever seen like those coolers, just this water going? That's what I see. It's just going up and down her body and up and down her body and up and down her body. And I see.
Has already just done much in this place, and Janice just said to tell you guys.
Nope. I'm sorry, God just like stopped me just that quick. Now I want you to look at me. I want you to say, Janice, we don't have to like you, but we have to love you. Now I'm gonna do something that I do not do. You can ask this one right here. I don't do what I'm about to do. But God, I need you to get. Because of the prophetic word that has come for this house of prayer, we have to invest in it. I know Tina received an offering, but I have to invest right now. We have to do, I don't care if it's 50 cents. I don't care if you have 5 cents. Say, I don't believe you're doing this. Well, believe it. Because I don't, Stephanie, do I do this? No, ma'am, I do not. I don't like offerings. I just, they're good, but they're uncomfortable. I don't care if it's $1. If you don't have a dollar, come see me. I may have a dollar to give you. We have to just put it right up here. We have to invest and say, you know what? We believe in our city. We believe in this ministry. We believe in the call of God on this ministry, and we believe in you. You got mine? Just stick it right up there. You just come as you will. Now you can come, Pam, just as you will. There's no formal way to do this. You just lay it right up here on the altar. And Pam's going to